lift up my head.
Verse 1 again.
As Christ who is my righteousness, my beauty is my glorious dress. Its flaming words in this parade with joy shall I lift up my head. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead for me, in for my soul was shed.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe were sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore.
Jesus, the Lord of righteousness.
Amen.
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 Lord,
we
believe thy precious blood.
Amen.
At the mercy seat of God.
Amen.
Ever done for sinners, please.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Our beauty this, our glorious dress.
Amen.
Jesus,
amen.
The Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your all-redeeming death.
Amen.
Your life-releasing death.
Amen.
Oh, your life-imparting death.
Amen.
Sing 543. I was just enjoying this. I know it has a newer tune. I don't know what the best tune might be. I sure enjoyed that one.
Most.
give our hearts this morning to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right, Lord. We give our hearts to you this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we'd like to empty our heart of everything.
Amen.
Lord, allow you to fill it in this time.
Amen.
Fill us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Fill us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
We'd like to be found in you.
Amen.
Desire.
Amen.
We love your presence.
Amen.
Also love your appearing.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you you're with us this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for those that love your appearing.
Amen.
To appear to us this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we love your appearing.
Amen.
Hear to us this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
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 546.
Amen.
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 Okay, we're going to go ahead and start here. We have a number of visitors joining us this morning, which is awesome. I hope you enjoyed the breakfast, if you had a chance to get some. We've been in a morning revival, and I think all the districts have been in the same one. If you're from out of town, we've been in the morning revival on fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. Amen. And that last part of the title is the topic for this week's ministry. So this week's ministry, the title is Receiving the Kingdom Reward of Christ as the Crown of Righteousness. Amen. And it was very rich. Hopefully there'll be a lot of sharing coming from this. So for those of you who are here for the first time or just not here in the Central District, we'll have a little time to read through the verses for the week, and then a brother is going to share an opening word, and then we'll have time for all of us to be able to overflow what we enjoyed from the week, and then we'll wrap it up with the closing word and announcements. Okay, so how about we go ahead and read through the verses for the week? If you don't have the book, the Morning Bible book, you can look on with somebody close by, and we'll just read in small groups the verses for each day. So day one.
I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, and by his appearing and his kingdom, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. Blessed is the man who endures trial, because when he has become approved by testing, he will receive the crown of life, which he promised to those who love him. Listen, my beloved brothers. Did not God choose the poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him?
Amen. Amen. Right.
Amen. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. The King's daughter is all glorious within the royal abode. Her garment is a woven work wrought with gold. She will be led to the king in embroidered clothing.
Amen.
The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father.
Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things.
Amen.
Enter into the joy of your master. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no authority, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Amen. Well, saints, we'd like to just take a few minutes here with an introduction, kind of an opening word related to this week's fellowship. This is the last message number 5 of a series of messages we've been going over related to the Chinese-speaking conference. And the brother who gave this word reminded us that this is actually a continuation of the previous year's Chinese-speaking conference, which was on making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. So everything we've been going over, and including this week's, is related to making ourselves ready.
Amen.
The scriptural basis, well, actually, let me go ahead and read the title and then to give the verse for the scriptural basis. Receiving the kingdom reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. And this is from 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, it's in a sense, this topic seems to be, and it is, related to righteousness. But I was just kind of touched this morning, the hymns we sang related to loving the Lord. And it does make sense that the verse, it mentions the crown of righteousness, but in the same verse, loving his appearing. And to love his appearing is actually just to love him. The two are inseparable. So the structure is, there are three major points related to this week. Each point gets a couple of days. So I'll go ahead and read the, just kind of go through the outline here in a kind of a summary form. Point number one is, in order for us to enjoy Christ as our kingdom reward, we must love the Lord's appearing, which is his appearing and manifestation to us today, and his presence with his people at his second coming. By staying on the constricted way of being watchful in life and faithful in service to be constituted as the bride of Christ. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
You know, in the previous, so this is 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the previous chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it mentions four kinds of lovers. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of God.
Amen.
And, you know, and this word was actually spoken to, in a sense, this is not referring to the non-Christian world, but to Christendom here. History tells us that the root of the church's decline was the loss of her first love towards the Lord.
Amen.
Right, this is to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. And I was reminded of a couple of verses from hymn 477 in going through this part. Whate'er thou lovest, man, that too becomest thou must. God, if thou lovest God, dust, if thou lovest dust, to bring thee to thy God, right? We all have to be brought to our God. To bring thee to thy God, love takes the shortest route.
Wow.
Amen.
Love takes the shortest route. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Maybe you don't even feel it. You just verbalize it. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
And then something starts welling.
Right.
The way which knowledge leads is but a roundabout.
That's right.
And I've mentioned this simple prayer before, but I'll just repeat it. Especially this week, I just, some things came up in my heart, and it's like, I didn't want to, I knew I was being occupied. I just couldn't, you know, shake it. And I wanted to, but I couldn't. And there was this simple prayer, Lord, show me your love, that I may love you more.
Amen.
You know, we just need, you know, we get distracted. We don't want to get distracted. We get distracted. But his love, his beauty, right, it draws us, it attracts us. So I'm glad I'm here this morning with you all. Just, I'm being drawn. I really appreciate those hymns we sang on loving the Lord. Anyway, very good. So the matter of the crown, a symbol of glory and beauty, is given as a prize, a reward, in addition to the Lord's salvation. So salvation is of grace by faith, but the prize, the reward, is of righteousness through works. Now, the second of the three points, in order to be awarded with Christ as our crown of righteousness in the next stage, we must experience and enjoy Him as our subjective lived out righteousness in this age.
Right, that's right.
Wow, okay. Yeah, righteousness is not just objective.
No.
And thank you so much, Lord, that we have that objective righteousness.
Right. Amen.
But there's another kind of righteousness, a subjective righteousness. And the verse that was referenced is Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him not having my own righteousness.
Wow.
How wonderful. Oh, to be in a condition, saints, of being found in Him not having our own righteousness. Which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith. So there are two aspects to this matter of Christ being our righteousness. Objective for our justification before God, right? And subjective as our living out of Christ. And these two aspects are shown in Psalm 45. Mm-hmm. Psalm 45 describes it.
Yeah.
We know, last week we were on the Song of Songs, which is a book of romance. Psalm 45 is a song of romance. Even some have said it is described as the highest and greatest of the 150 Psalms.
Wow.
Psalm 45. Ooh, I mean, that kind of caught my attention. I think I need to read it. There, two garments are mentioned. One garment corresponds to the objective righteousness, which is for our salvation. The other garment corresponds with the subjective righteousness, which is for our victory. This is, and listen to the phrasing on this, the subjective Christ woven into our character. The subjective Christ woven into our character. So right now, we just like to open as best we can and just let Christ weave Himself into our being.
Amen.
Right? As the saints are speaking, there's some weaving. Right? Another stitch. You're prepared. There's going to be a wedding.
Amen.
I got some good news. There's going to be a wedding.
Amen.
And you're preparing.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm here.
Yes.
We're preparing for that wedding.
Right.
And today, another stitch.
Amen.
Another stitch. Christ woven into our character, embroidered into our being. Wow, what a wonderful thing is happening here.
Amen.
And we might not even be conscious of it. It's just, you're just here, just listening, and then something's happening inside your being. Christ is being interwoven, being stitched in. That garment, that inner garment is being prepared. Wonderful. The other one was the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, who is working day by day to embroider Christ into us, stitch by stitch,
wow,
to be our wedding garment.
Wow.
And then the third point, briefly here, the Lord will save me into His heavenly kingdom. This is 2 Timothy 4:18. And here a few points. Those who enter into the kingdom of the heavens will, and then there's kind of a bulleted list here just to briefly mention them, they will participate in the manifestation of the kingdom, shine forth like the sun.
Amen.
Drink the cup. They'll drink the cup of the new covenant anew. They'll feast. They'll feast with the Old Testament overcomers, inherit eternal life, enter into the Lord's joy, and reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
Amen.
So, saints, we just like to give you all an opportunity to share your enjoyment.
Amen.
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 So, some of y'all have been here for a while. When I stand up to be the worst case scenario of the one prophesying in this time.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's only going to get better from here. I'm just going to jump right into this. Crosville, if you were in the armed forces, could you just stand up for a second? If you were in the armed forces, could you just stand up? This is not to celebrate you. Don't worry. Okay, whatever.
There's one of
them. Oh, we got one.
Okay.
Once you're a warrior, no matter what else you go through, you're still a warrior. It becomes part of your discipline.
Yeah.
So in this environment, right here before you all, I would like to shame the enemy.
Amen.
Okay? So I'm going to read you something. This is on day four. It says, although we have the first garment, our second garment is now being prepared under the embroidery work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something for me. A lot of times when we get into this stuff, it's all about me, right? How am I going to be an overcomer? Y'all forgive me just a second. I gotta find this footnote. Well, of course it's gonna go wrong. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Electronics. Let me just go to the footnote itself, or what I wanted to read to y'all. This matter of the bride making herself ready in the right there in Revelation 19:7, right? The bride has made herself ready. So this says that the Holy Spirit is preparing us, right? But then it says that the bride is making herself ready.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So there's this matter of maturity, right? We want to be brought on to maturity, right? So I'm just going to read a little bit from Life Study of Hebrews. This was spoken over 50 years ago. The book of Hebrews is a book on maturity. In order to be brought on to maturity, we need to cross the river. What does it mean to be mature? Throughout the years, I have learned that if we are in ourselves, we are individualistic. We are immature. May I have a few? May I read this? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
Okay, go ahead. What does it mean to be mature? Throughout the years, I've learned that if we are in ourselves and are individualistic, we are mature. If we try to be holy, spiritual, or victorious, that is also immaturity. Real maturity is not only in our spirit, but also in the church life. The church life is the sign of our having become mature. As a result of my watching and observing for almost 50 years, I can testify that there is no real maturity in life outside the church. Real maturity can only be found in the church life. The Hebrew believers to whom this book was written were staggering in their Christian life. They were wandering in their mind whether to go on or to go back. At that very point, this book was written to encourage them to go on.
Amen.
The best way to go on is to forget everything.
Yes.
Once you forget everything, you shall go on.
Amen.
We may spend much time to consider our environment, our past, our future, and all the things related to it. Yet we would not spend 1 hour in going on.
Wow.
Many, many times, dear saints, have come to me asking me about the past, present, future, and many other things. I became famous for never answering their questions. I only gave them one word of advice. Go on.
Amen.
Don't talk and don't remember your past. You should even forget the present and not care for the future.
Amen.
If you really want to go on, then just go on.
Amen.
Those who are going on, the best are those who do not remember anything.
Wow.
Consider the runners in a race. While they are running, they have no time to think of anything else.
Amen.
They only know
Amen.
One thing.
Amen.
Running the race.
Amen.
Saints, there's
Amen.
More to this. I wanted to read more. I'm just here before y'all to ask you, as members of the body, right, that we would forget everything else.
Right.
We forget
right.
our inconsistency, our inability, everything, and just go on.
Amen. Amen.
I need to forget everything else and stretch forward.
Yes.
I like the tatas. I need to forget everything. What? Go on.
Amen.
Because I'm running the race together with y'all.
Amen.
Those who love his appearing. I also enjoying day four. I didn't know you're going to start right away there. But I need to be reminded, we are all running the race together, and from previous message, we know the goal, we know what's the end. But in this week, my particular message, in day one begin with that we love his appearance, and we need to be watchful in life and faithful in service. Brother, sister, how is our life and service? I want to quickly fast forward to day four. Really, on 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me or us from every evil work and will save us into his heavenly kingdom. So eventually, you know, when we are running a race toward the goal, but there need to be some kind of incentive, a reward,
amen,
right, for us, what, to run the race together, right? And this day four, touch on that, the heavenly kingdom. That's the 2 Timothy 4:18, which is equal to 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness.
Amen.
It's been mentioned again and again. You know, when we believe the Lord, we all have a first garment. But it's a question whether we have a second garment or not. Now it's related to the wedding feast. Only those are qualified, because one day when he returned, all of us will stand right at the judgment seat of Christ. So we all have to give account. That's related to our living. Then the reader on day four, five, the righteousness is the indwelling Christ. Live out. Yeah. Pay attention. Live out of us, that we may live in the reality of the kingdom today.
Amen.
And into its manifestation in the future. Amen. That means we today in the church life, we need to live an overcoming life.
Amen.
So again and again, even at the end of the Bible, the Lord sending out the overcoming believer, the overcoming saints. And these are the victorious ones. These are the ones in the reality of the kingdom of the heavens. So it's not a small thing. And one little point, sorry about time, in day five says to enter into the kingdom of the heaven. Very simple. We need to do two things. Don't be too complicated. What? Call on the Lord.
Amen.
Right. And what? Do the will of the Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
See, it's not a small thing. Today, when we call on the name of the Lord, what? We begin to bring him in.
Amen.
Receive him.
Amen.
All the divine, everything is in his name. And anyway, and then do the will of the Heavenly Father. That means to be one with him.
Amen.
Not to do our own will.
Amen.
We need to be one with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's so simple. Today in the church life, we want to be in the reality of the kingdom. And we just need to call on him.
Amen.
Daily. Enjoy him.
Amen.
Enjoy his dispensing.
Amen.
And do the will of the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Dear saints, earlier this week, I was somewhat discouraged. I would say just next to depressed. And it was because of various circumstances outwardly and ailments inwardly. And I was pretty bothered. But then a sister sent this to me and some others, and it said, according to this verse, which I don't have the verse here, but what we have is not temporary and transitory comfort and strengthening, but eternal encouragement. This eternal encouragement is by the divine life.
Amen.
It is sufficient for any kind of environment and situation. Therefore, it is with good hope. And you know, I read that, I considered that, and I said, amen, Lord. You know, if I take this discipline of the Holy Spirit in a good way, you know, leaning on you, it'll be for your benefit, for my benefit, and I'm just going to let all these problems be.
Amen.
And by the Lord's mercy, I was better.
Amen.
This line of fellowship has been so helpful to me. This being the first of the seven feasts of the year, for me it really, in my experience so far, it's really set the tone.
Yeah.
And, you know, the title of this whole, it's just two verses that Paul speaks to Timothy. You know, I have fought the good fight. I want to emphasize the definite article. The good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. And this really touched me because this indicates, this definite article means we need to be clear what we are fighting for what course we are running on, what is the faith that we are keeping, so that we may receive the crown.
Amen.
And the crown is just Christ as our reward. And so the two garments this week, in Psalm 45, it says the first garment is woven and then wrought with gold. And this refers to Christ's sufferings. He lived a life of suffering, a human life of suffering, died on the cross and was resurrected and produced this first garment. So saints, I was touched this week. This garment is not cheap.
No,
he paid the highest price
that
we would have this garment, this first garment. So we will never underappreciate the Lord's redemption. But aren't you thankful, you know, that we can know that there is a second garment? You know, we need a second garment. And this second garment is of an embroidered work. And this is a matter of the Spirit's transforming us. And so this is not free. It's not given for free. The first garment is free. We just call on the Lord and we receive Him. And we have this gold inwrought garment. But this second garment is in the process of being produced. And so the Lord needs us to pay the price to gain this garment. And so this is our cooperating with the Spirit's transforming work day by day. But I was so helped by this because this, if we realize this is what the Lord is doing, then whatever we go through is not in vain.
That's right.
It's the Lord wants us to gain this garment.
Amen.
And last thing I want to share is, in light of last week's ministry on the Song of Songs, I enjoyed seeing that the Song of Songs is just a history of gaining the second garment.
Amen.
As we're going on with the Lord, His life is being matured in us and causing us to be faithful, to be watchful in life. And eventually, by the end, what do you see? The Shulamite is laboring with the Lord. She's going into the fields and says, "There I will give you my love." And then she is caring for and perfecting the younger believers. She realized, "I have a little sister. I need to help her. I need to help her grow." So may the Lord have mercy on us to, when He comes, He would find us watchful in life and faithful in service.
I was also touched by this part about the two garments. I really appreciate the ministry. It just makes so clear. And I just appreciate even going through the verses, because by the Lord's mercy, a lot of Christians only know about, you know, as for the first garment, as long as we believe in Christ, repent. And we got the first garment, just like this verse saying, you know, the purple garment is a woven work involved with the gold, so it's the nature of God. But a lot of time, a lot of sense, people don't know we need to really, you know, to have the second garment for the Lord's coming back. And it was, I just want to share from the verses, it's so clear. You know, in Psalm 45, I already mentioned that the first one is woven with gold, and also she will be led to the king in embroidered clothing. So the second one is embroidered and then woven, you know, stitch by stitches. So that's the subjective righteousness of the Lord living out, you know, through us. And then also that corresponds with the Matthew 22:11-12, the wedding guest, this person, Kim, doesn't have the garment, so he got cast out. All women would not be the one. And also in Revelation 19:8, also made it so clear, say, it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, and, you know, bright and clear.
Amen.
And for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Amen.
So when the Lord comes back, when the bride needs to make herself ready to prepare for His coming, and we need our second garment, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Thank you, Lord, and we have this word, and we know our goal, so let us go on to have the second garment.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I really enjoy this matter of the two garments in Psalm 45, as well as, I don't know, as many saints. And I was really really touched by that second verse in Psalm 45:15. It says, "She will be led to the king in embroidered clothing." And I really like that word, embroidered. So that embroidery is the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And the result is the righteousnesses of the saints. Amen. It's Christ as our subjective righteousness. Amen. It's Christ lived out of us in our daily situation. And I was just kind of considering, you know, my wife Amy, she likes to stitch. And maybe that's why I that word embroidery stood out to me. But she does a particular kind of stitching. It's called cross stitching. And I was like, oh Lord, you know, to get the stitching, a lot of times it involves we take the cross. You know, we need the cross stitching.
Amen.
And you know, just like it said on the other day, it said to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, we need to do two things: call on the Lord, and do the will of the heavenly Father. You know, I know my experience. A lot of times, I have my own will. I want to do my own thing. But oh Lord, in order to get this stitching, I need to be crossed out. And you know, by our turning to the Lord, by me being crossed out, then I get Christ. And I get more of the stitching.
Right.
So praise the Lord for his stitching work in this age. May we all be produced to be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I was also I don't know if I can give. I need to sit down so that baby can get up and share.
Yeah. I'm already sitting.
Anyway, I was also really impressed with this matter of the stitching. You know, we got the Lord. We have situations, and a lot of them aren't very pleasant. But in those situations, if we open our mind, our heart, our being to the Lord, and allow Him to make a stitch in us during those situations, then in the long run, we will gain the Lord, and we will have our garment ready for when the Lord comes back. Also, a matter with this cross stitching, you also have to follow a pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord is our pattern. You know, stitch by stitch, you know, a little bit by little bit, the Lord is gaining us so that we will eventually have the garment so that we can be presented to Him as His bride.
Amen.
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 I wanted to take the
matter of
the second garment and put it in a slightly different context. The subject of, if you look in the recovery version, the subject of 2 Timothy is the inoculation against the decline of the church.
That's right.
So
that's
we're obviously in that this week, and maybe we can recover this term. You're looking in the morning revival, and it mentions the inoculation, the inoculator, and I think we have a concept related to inoculation. You know, it's kind of more in the medical sense that, when we hear an inoculation, the form that it is that we're going to give you the deadly substance, we're going to give you the sickness, but we're going to give it to you in a small dose so that you can build up resistance to it. But in this sense, it's a little different. Because the inoculation is not the sickness. The inoculation is not a deadly disease.
Right.
The inoculation is the pure word.
Yes.
The inoculation is the healthy teaching.
Amen.
And the inoculation is administered through our mouths.
Yes. Amen.
And, we need to be those that just, we go on. We don't have a memory, but we just continually speak.
Yes.
That which the Lord gives us every day, every moment.
Amen.
And in that, in the administering of the inoculation against the decline of the church, we are stitching every moment of every day that second garment, which is the reward for the administering of the inoculation.
Amen.
So we actually speak ourselves into the kingdom that is prepared for
us.
Amen.
That's right. To how old is that little one?
5 months this week.
Getting younger.
Praise the Lord for the inoculation and greetings from the church in Irvine, California.
Amen.
It's good to blend.
Yeah.
So I blend with the church in Santa Ana, California on this topic a few weeks ago.
Oh,
so that was wonderful too. So anyway, greetings. So inoculation. I really appreciate this healthy teaching.
Yes.
Right? Because if you run a marathon, you can't just show up. You have to go the day before and get a bib. You know what a bib is? It's a garment.
Yeah.
And if you have that garment, you can run the marathon. Mm-hmm. So that's like our initial salvation. You can't run the race unless you get the bib. So we all have the bib.
Yeah,
we do. But what if we weren't inoculated with the truth and we didn't know there was a goal?
Oh, yeah. Right.
We didn't know there was a judgment seat.
Yes.
You wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm in this, I have this bib. I'm good. No, you're not. You got to finish the race. So I really appreciate that. I'm not being funny. I really appreciate it because it keeps me in the race.
Yes, yes.
But you know what's encouraging about the race?
Right.
I'm running the race.
Amen.
But it's not all about me.
That's right.
It is about me. We all have our personal journey. So unlike a marathon, where we all have a different personal course. What you're going to go through in your human life, what I'm going to go through, is different.
Yes.
But the goal is the same.
Yes.
And the goal, at the end of a race, Paul uses this term, bima, which is an elevated judgment seat. So when he talks about the judgment seat of Christ, the word there is bima. It's a judgment. We are all going to stand before the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To render an account. I am so appreciative of that. That does not condemn me. It wakes me up. It's okay, guess what? So we're running this. Now, if you run with a bib and you have your name on it, everyone, what's your name, brother?
Lewis.
Lewis. So if you had a bib that said Lewis, all the people watching you would be like, go, Lewis!
Yeah.
You got this!
Yeah.
Go, Lewis!
We're all running together.
We're all running together, right? Now, here's the exciting part. The bride has made herself ready.
Yeah.
Why hasn't the Lord returned?
Oh, Lord.
The bride's not ready.
Right.
The bride's not ready.
Right.
We know the prophecy in the Bible. He's coming.
Yes.
We absolutely know it's going to happen. But he hasn't come yet. Because not enough people even know there's a race, let alone a judgment seat, or that there needs to be a bride made ready.
Right.
So, Brother Drew, praise the Lord for the healthy inoculation.
Thank you.
That we it's not just a teaching.
Yeah.
It's not just a, you know, but it's to encourage us all to run the race together.
Amen.
We have our bib. We have our name. We have the cloud of witnesses. We have the goal. Let's bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Let's bring the Lord back.
Yes.
At the end of this white part, the Lord's appearing, his coming back is a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive. Well, often we just see it sometimes as a warning or something scary. Oh no, I'm not ready, Lord. Right, but I appreciate we need to know what we're running towards, right? We're running towards Christ because we love him.
Amen.
I'm jumping back to the beginning and day one talks about loving the Lord's appearing.
Right.
So his appearing is just loving the Lord's appearing is just loving himself, right? It's just loving this wonderful person. I appreciate what our brother shared in the opening word, how that's the fastest way to get to the Lord. I really appreciated that. Wow, so much more than all the knowledge, which takes the long path, we can just say, Lord, I love you, and we get right to our Lord.
Amen.
There was a portion that the children or the YP were asked to memorize probably years ago, and it came up in day one. I'm going to read it to you. Whatever one loves, his whole heart, even his entire being, is set on and occupied and possessed by. This is crucial. Whether there would be a day of glory in the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline depends altogether on what we set our heart upon,
Amen.
What it is that we love. Lord, we just love you.
Amen.
Keep us running the race.
Yes.
Thank you, we know the prize.
Amen.
We know we have a judgment seat.
Right.
Lord, we want to be those who just love your appearing.
Amen.
Love you together to build your bride that you could return.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is knitting us together.
Amen.
I really wanted to read this part. This is day two. It says, the Lord's servants will have to give an account to him. And this really this really opened my eyes. It says, the Lord will either say, well done, good and faithful slave, or evil and slothful slave. And if you haven't, if you didn't realize, there's no in between. There's no passing grade here, right? And, you know, it just made me realize we need to, the Lord is operating in us, but we need to cooperate, right? He wants to knit us together. We need to allow him to do what he needs to do in us, right? And sometimes, and you know, when you're knitting, right, the yarn or the thread, it's malleable, right? You can move that thread around. You can stretch it. You can bunch it up together. You know, my daughter has recently been doing this, and I was like, you know, oh, what are you knitting? And she was like, oh, Dad, this is crocheting. And I was like, oh, sorry, okay, I didn't know what you're saying. But you know, the yarn is extremely, you can move it. You can do whatever you will with the yarn. You can make it straight. If that yarn or that thread was stiff, it would be extremely hard to stitch, right? To knit, to crochet. And you know, sometimes we are stiff in our Christian life. We can become stiff, and you know, we have to realize that the Lord is there, and he wants to operate. The Lord wants to make us ready. Amen. Like he wants to, like he's beautifying us. Like day by day he's working in us, and he's blending us together. He's knitting us together. And we just have to say, Lord, like just operate in me. Just knit us together, blend us together for your will. Because we want to, you know, be ready for the Lord. Right? We want to be his bride. And we just have to let him operate in us.
Amen.
Amen.
We love you. In 2 Timothy, we can see Paul was running the race, and he knew there's a reward prepared for him at the end of the race.
Yes.
So I was peer reading 2 Timothy 4:8, but I felt like the crown of righteousness is too far from me, and it's too high to obtain it. But the Lord told me, just keep reading the verse.
Amen.
And at the end, the Paul said, this crown of righteousness is not for me, but also all those who have loved this appearing.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you, and we love your appearing.
Amen.
And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, in the footnote on love, it says, to love God means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body,
Amen.
Absolutely on him.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy 3, I was really touched by this matter. There is some kinds of lovers. The lovers of money, the lovers of self, and the lovers of pleasure, and the lovers of God. And there are two kinds of non-lovers, which is non-lovers of good and non-lovers of God. Mm-hmm. And the outline said, whether there would be a day of glory in the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline, it depends altogether on what kind of lovers we are.
Amen.
So I was just praying to the Lord, Lord, what kind of lover am I? And I knew there's something really was occupying my heart. So I just prayed the Lord this kind of simple prayer, Lord, save me from being occupied, and save me from loving something else. Just like they're like 2-3 sentences. And the Lord actually answered my prayer at the end of the week. The Lord, there's some matter that was really occupying me, and the Lord just took care of the matter in a very unexpected way. So I was just so thankful that the Lord answered my prayer, and you know, we all want to be the lovers of good and the lovers of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We're walking down a road that leads to glory, right? There's a picture of the New Jerusalem And there's a golden street, and there's a way to enter, and there's things outside of the city that are ugly. And right now we're in the age of grace, and we're in the journey, and we want to walk, we want to run the race, right? I appreciate we have a bib, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it wonderful we have a bib? We're in the race, amen. Hallelujah. But we need to reach the goal. Yes. And the goal is to enter into the reality of the New Jerusalem in the kingdom age, not just for eternity. And and I really enjoyed that we have a vision, we have a revelation. This ministry gives us the healthy teaching. It gives us the engine to move us along that road, that we can have a proper entrance. And that engine is, we need to love the Lord's appearing. Amen. You know, but if you're in the world and you want to love the Lord's appearing, I remember I used to pray a prayer before I came to the Lord's recovery about, it was from a song about loving the Lord more dearly and more this. And I wanted his appearing, but I didn't know how to, I had no handlebars, nothing to hold on to. But in this ministry, we have the handlebars.
Amen.
We have a way of holding on, and we have a way of running the race. Amen. And I'm so happy that I'm here with you all.
Amen.
That we could be running this race together.
Amen.
That we're in the boat, and we're going to the other side. And we know, right? This boat is moved by the breath of God, which is God's appearing in our daily life.
Amen.
And I don't know how the chicken before the egg, or the, I don't know how. But there's a corporate aspect and an individual aspect. I know when I come to the Lord's Day meeting and I hear the words that y'all speak.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I have to keep my composure. I get so stirred up. And it seems like my morning revival time is, I'm in courage. You know what it is? Let's incite one another to love and good works.
Amen.
There's a unique good work in this universe, and that is to lay hold of him.
Amen.
Let's lay hold of him together.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
But in the last Blending Conference we had, Brother Ed Marks shared about loving the Lord according to revelation.
Right.
And the revelation of who he is. And I was really touched by this because there's a lot of talk in the age today about, you know, speaking someone's language. And if somebody values quality time and you're giving them material gifts, that's not going to meet them. You're not loving them according to revelation. And so we have this ministry. Therefore, we do not lose heart because we know what is on God's heart. We know that he is looking for his bride so that he can return.
Amen.
And so I just appreciate this word this week. And AJ, you just touched on it, is that we're loving his appearing, but it's not just something in the distance. And in the first Roman numeral, it says his appearing and manifestation to us today. So in our course, in our personal journey, in our daily life, where is he appearing to us? Where is the Lord's manifestation to us today? And I just really was touched by this because, you know, regarding the second garment, it's so applicable to, you know, my daily life with my children where they're watching me all the time. And this word just stuck out to me is that this subjective Christ woven into our character and embroidered into our being. And it just, the Lord is like, you know, what are you in your daily life? How are you allowing Christ to be embroidered into what you're doing today? Whether it's work in an office, in a job outside, whether it's with your children, whether it's at school and you're studying, how is Christ being embroidered into our being? And then this other phrase a little further down is the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, who is working day by day to embroider Christ into us stitch by stitch. And so, you know, according to what you were saying about there's so many saints have shared, but this just caused me to turn to the Lord. Lord, just one more stitch today. So whatever that looks like, you know, a lot of other things stuck out regarding, you know, God-approved conduct. And just basically what are we doing in our day with our being, with our time, according to a revelation of the Lord's desire to come back. So are we seeking his appearing? Are we looking for how he's manifesting himself to us? And my daughter came back from school with a little poem that she learns because they learn to recite words or poems, and she was reciting it to us, and it's about kind thoughts are the roots, kind words are the flowers, kind deeds are the fruit. And as I was reading and listening to her and just reading the morning revival whenever I could, I was just like, Lord, you know, our conduct is no small thing, but this is a part of this embroidery. This is part of something larger that you're trying to gain. It's not just, you know, to a seven-year-old, that is what it is, but to us, like, we are allowing himself to cross-stitch himself into our being to transform us with the Holy Spirit for the building up of his bride to prepare us for his return. And knowing what the goal is in this race is so glorious, and I'm just so encouraged this morning to be here with you all and to run the race together.
Amen.
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 Amen. Speaking on the objective and subjective garment reminded me of a little expounding on the objective garment in the life study of Luke. This is in Luke 18, where it's talking about praying to God unceasingly and bothering him like the woman bothered the judge. Mm-hmm. And there's a section on being humbled, and the Pharisees, he's praying, right? And he's like, thanks God that I'm not an adulterer. Thanks that I'm not a bad person. You know? So he's not humbled at all. He's like, thanks that I'm so great. But the tax collector, he realizes his condition. And he can't even look up to the heavens. And he says, God, be propitiated to me. And so the Greek lesson here is that there are three Greek words for propitiation or place or the actual sacrifice, elasmos, elasterion, and elaskomai. And in different sections of context of the Bible, they're each used, but they can mean the actual sacrifice, you know, like in the Old Testament, the animal. They can mean the person bringing the sacrifice, or they can mean the place of the sacrifice. And so Christ is all these things to us, right? And like Vina was sharing, sometimes I'll look inwardly at my own character. You know, there's not enough Christ stitched into my character, or the enemy gets in my mind, like, oh, you don't do this, or you don't do that. But I have the propitiation, right? I have the elasmos, the elaskomai, and the elasterion, and all I need to do is come forward to the one who sacrificed himself so that I could enjoy God.
Amen.
Amen. I wasn't planning to share, but amen. My life of being a Christian as a believer was actually getting to know this person, wonderful person, and really falling in love with him and being in love with him and, yeah, becoming part of his bride with you all. And so he makes this a reality in our daily lives. In me and also in you. I didn't plan to share, so it's kind of, yeah. But yes, just yesterday, I came to the YP with my daughter, and there was this young person loving the Lord, and, you know, it was all expressed. And my daughter, who is not really in love with him yet, told me, I just can't imagine what that young person would love. I mean, how he would be without, if he didn't really love God, if he didn't love him, Jesus. So she had the impression that he was so occupied and saturated with being in love with him that she couldn't just imagine anything apart from him, from his life. And that was expressed in that short time. And so, yeah, I thought that, yeah, this is the church, this testimony of Jesus himself loving him, this lovable person. And yeah, we are becoming fit for him, matching him, and he is just the most wonderful person, so gentle and so delicate, and all of our situations. That's why it's taking us, it's taking him the time, the, this long time, to gain his bride. He never uses really, he's not, you know, authoritative. Even though he is, he has the most authority. And so I praise him for gaining us in this way, in such a, an affectionate way, to gain his bride, to court us in the most romantic way. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Them reward, we must love the Lord's appearing, which is his appearing and manifestation to us today, Amen. And his presence with his people at his second coming, by staying on the constricted way of being watchful in life and faithful in service to be constituted as the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this week was kind of hard for me to, like, digest. Like even the first verse, I was like, I have finished the good fight. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't even know if I can, you know, even go into the fight. I feel like I'm already defeated. But actually, I was really encouraged by last week. I've just been stuck on week four, day five this whole week. From last week, it's like Song of Songs, who is this who comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy is as cruel as Sheol, its flashes are the flashes of fire, a flame of Jehovah. So the first verse is like, who is this who comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I was just stuck on it this whole week, you know? So the Shulamite is coming from the wilderness, but she's leaning on the beloved. You know, I never thought, like, the Lord actually came to the wilderness with her. So she was not alone in the wilderness. Many times we're in wilderness, and I'm like, Lord, I'm by myself, and, you know, all these things. But the Lord came to the wilderness.
Amen.
And when the Lord came to her, she was able to come out of that situation. Mm-hmm. So who is this who comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? So when the Lord comes to us, all we have to do is just lean on him.
Amen.
And I was like, Lord, what does it mean to lean? And, you know, in that same week, it says, like, leaning is just being making ourselves feel weak. And it's okay to feel weak, because the Lord wants us to be weak so we can lean on him.
Amen.
And, you know, if you think about the climber plants, like vine or, like, just creeper plants, it needs, like, something to grow, like a rope or a, you know, stick or whatever. But if you take it out, the plant is going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we just have to, if we need to grow, we just have to lean on the Lord.
Amen.
And so praise the Lord, this Christian life is not to be done by ourselves in our own strength, but just leaning on him.
Actually, that kind of goes with what I was going to share. You know, this matter of righteousness, when we hear that word righteousness,
right,
I think all of us have a little bit of a little reaction in our being.
Yeah, yeah.
Because righteousness, it kind of involves a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a requirement there to fulfill the righteousness, and we know in ourselves that we don't meet that requirement, right? If the verse there in 4:7 would have ended, therefore the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day,
right,
then we would all probably feel a little bit like, good for you, Paul. I don't think that's going to be my case. But he also says, but not only me,
right,
wow,
but also all those who have loved his appearing.
Amen.
Kind of bringing these two matters of righteousness and love together.
Amen.
And that's why week four goes with week five. That's why we had to have week four on loving the Lord before we could have week five. Actually, the Shulamite there goes from the wild mare doing whatever she wants and pulling Pharaoh's chariots to leaning on her beloved, but not only that, but entering into his work.
Amen.
Entering into his work. And then, anyway, there's a few verses, you know, and I don't know, it was day four, day five, it referenced this reference to Matthew 7, right? And then there in Matthew 7, the Pharisees there are saying, the Lord's telling a parable, and he said, many will come to me and say, Lord, we did this in your name.
Right.
Lord, Lord. And basically the point is there that you can call on the Lord, you're saved, but he doesn't recognize your works.
That's right.
Eventually, it's like, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They did all these things in their name, but yet at the end, the Lord didn't accept their work. Same word to Ephesus. The Lord said, I know your works. I know your works. You've done all these things correctly, but you have one thing that you lack. You have left your first love. And then when Brenda was sharing, it all came together. You know, when the Pharisee received the Lord into his house, he says, he said, you didn't, when I entered into the house, you did not give me a kiss. But she, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet affectionately. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she loved much. But to him who little is forgiven, he loves little. When our righteousness depends on ourselves, it is not acceptable to God. No matter what we can do for him outwardly, the end result will be, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Why? Because the source was not love.
That's right.
Love is the indispensable requirement. It's not our righteousness. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. That's why it needs to be woven into us from him, right? But the source is our love for him. The sinful woman there, she didn't, you know, maybe she didn't think, I'm serving the Lord. Everything just issued out of her love for him. So this is our case, right? We can't just depend on our righteousness to make it to the end. I'm going to do it. Actually, we can't do it. We need to lean on our beloved, allow him to stitch himself into our being, so that out of that love for him, we can be satisfying to him.
Amen. That's a good segue for a closing word. So, you know, this particular conference covered actually two main verses in 2 Timothy, right? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, right? That's message two. Message one is I have fought the good fight. Message two, I have finished the course. Then I have kept the faith. That's message three. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, which is this message five, will recompense me in that day. Not only me, but also all those who loved his appearing, which is message four. So love is the base for everything.
Amen.
And like Zeke was sharing, you know, without that love, our work really means nothing. You know, sometimes we labor, do something for the Lord. I'm amazed. I'm going to come back to this verse in Matthew 7, 21. You know, the Lord is the one that says that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come back to that in a second. So I like to focus on, as part of the closing here, focus on three kind of phrases: the crown of righteousness, the righteous judge, and the recompense. You know, we're all running a race. We're running a race, and our goal is to receive the crown as the reward.
Right.
And of course, that crown has different names. James calls it the crown of life. Peter calls it the crown of glory. And Paul here in 2 Timothy calls it the crown of righteousness. It's righteousness. It's a righteous crown. You know, it's like when you run in a race, if you got first place, you get the gold. You don't get the bronze because that's unrighteous.
Right.
If you did the best, you get the top prize. If you did the worst, you get nothing or punishment. You know, in my house, we're very simple. If you get top grades, you get reward. If you get not so good grades, guess what? Very simple. It's real simple in my house. Very simple. And the Lord is the righteous judge. And, you know, brothers and sisters, the Lord will return as a righteous judge. You know, in Revelation 22, he says, my reward is with me. And he's going to give to each one. Each one. He's a righteous judge. And in 2 Timothy 4, he uses the word recompense. Recompense. When I read that, I said, wow, recompense. There's going to be a reward. You know what a recompense is? It's a payback. Yeah. You look up in the dictionary. It says repayment for work done. Repayment. Okay, so I'm a believer. All right, let's go on to, I'd like to read this section here real quick. In the outline, I really enjoy this section. It says, the incorruptible crown is a symbol of glory and beauty given as a prize in addition to the Lord's salvation. Okay? To the triumphant runner of the Christian race. The prize is neither of grace nor of by faith, as salvation is, but the righteousness through works. Righteousness through works. You know, the emphasis in last week, week four, was on loving the Lord. That's the life side. The emphasis this week is not only loving him, but going one step further, serving him.
Amen.
Right? So I'll go back to Matthew 7 now. And the Lord is speaking. He's telling us. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Okay, this is a particular expression, kingdom of the heavens, not kingdom of God. Kingdom of the heavens. Okay, that's pointing to the next age. Not everyone, Lord, Lord, will grant us salvation. Okay? But then there's the other part. But those who do the will of my Father. That's the second half. Okay? The second half. So I should be concerned now about the second half, doing the will of the Father. Our salvation is guaranteed eternally. There's no problem there. But how about the work? Okay? We don't have a problem with eternal salvation, but we may have a problem with gaining the reward.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of believers also have a problem with, because they don't understand this relationship between these two things. And so people, sometimes they feel like they lost their salvation.
Right.
You know? You cannot lose your salvation once you have received the Lord once and for all.
Right.
But you may miss the kingdom because of our works. Right? Oh,
Lord Jesus,
cause us to be watchful in life and faithful in service.
Amen.
So we do need to hear this word on the reward, because we all need incentives, right? I know in school we all get incentives. On the job, we get incentives. I have a performance evaluation every year.
Yeah, that's right.
Either you get a reward, a bonus, or you just get your regular pay. That's how my job is. So if we don't have an incentive, you know what happens? There's the danger that we may become slothful. There's the danger we may become lazy, and there's the danger that we may even become negligent and miss the mark. So just to conclude, to get the reward, number one, we need to love him.
Amen.
And of course, this determines whether the church is victorious or the church goes into decline. Mm-hmm. How much do we love him? We need to love him.
Amen.
Not money, not self, not pleasure, because today I'm telling you, there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
Or even on here. Okay. Number two, pay the price to get stitched. And the question is, has the Lord indicated to you what the price is? And for each one of us, the price is different.
Right.
It's different for each one of us. I struggle with some things that you won't struggle with. And some of you struggle with things that I don't even think about. So we need to pray the price wherever we are.
Right.
And of course, maintain a victorious standard. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, make me ready.
Amen.
We need to tell the Lord, Lord, make me ready.
Amen.
Make me an overcomer in this age.
Amen.
And then the Lord will give us the way to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We do like to hear those words, right?
Yes.
Well done, good and faithful slave. It's a slave. It's related to service.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. We'll give the announcements here in just a minute, but we have plenty of visitors, so maybe we can have some of them introduce themselves. If you're from the North District, maybe all of you can stand up. We'll just say hello to you. Thank you for blending with us. Awesome. Great. We enjoyed having everyone. All right. If you're from out of town or you have...
Northwest District.
Well, from Northwest District. Who's from Northwest District?
Oh, man.
All right. If you're from out of town or if you're just back in town after having not been here for a while, maybe you can stand up and give us a little information, who you are, where you're from.
Stephen and Carrie Bellingham from Irvine, California.
Amen.
Yu Chang and Jennifer from Piscataway,
New Jersey.
Amazing. Have you.
Amen.
Amen. Does she look like somebody?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I'm
Adonai's
sister.
That's Adonai's sister, yeah. Yeah. It's good, brother.
John, first year's church in Bellingham.
All right. Washington.
Joining us.
Carter Gansky from Church 4.
All right.
Jonathan and Elizabeth Robbins from the Church of Church.
Sister Lindy visiting from church in Davis, California.
Davis.
Okay.
Hi, Joy Liu and Esther Liu from College Station.
College Station.
Hi, I'm Ryan Yang. I'm Wynn from the church in Ames, Iowa.
All right. A lot of localities here.
Yeah.
Visiting us.
Wonderful.
Any other visitors before I read the announcements? Okay, so as we mentioned, this was the last week in this Holy War for Mormon Revival, so we'll be in a new one next week, and that one has a very simple... The last couple have had long titles.
Yes.
This one's very simple. It's The Christian Life. So for those of us who are doing verses and announcements and opening word, we don't have to read that long title anymore. We just say, this week we're getting into The Christian Life. So... So there should be some books available in the book room, so if you want to go ahead and grab one today, that is great. Some important items. This evening we're going to have a corporate table meeting, so that's why we didn't have the Lord's table this morning. Please join us at 5:30 to around 7 for the Lord's table this evening, and that's for all the districts combined. And then there's going to be a community sisters tea time next week in various homes. So if you want to sign up, the link is in the announcements, or speak to somebody who knows how to get that to you, the link. There's going to be a seniors conference, those high school seniors, not seniors conference. We need to change that in the announcements. There's a high school seniors conference next week, and we already have all the registration for that, but please pray for that time. We have, I believe, 4 high school sisters going, or 5 high school sisters going, and 3 high school brothers going. So,
where are you going?
The church in Dallas is hosting that time. Yeah, it's a very special time for those high school seniors.
Yes, it is.
At the beginning of their high school year. Right, Jacob? Yeah. Okay. We also have an area Chinese speaking conference, and that'll be held in Plano. You can also, using the link, find out more details. The Central Texas Conference messages, so the recordings of the messages that were given by Brother Ed, they're available now at the austinmediaroom.com website. And then there's an International Thanksgiving Blending Conference this year in Atlanta. So if you want more information more information in the various languages can be found in the announcements on the links there as well. And the final important announcement here is the Olympic Games Gospel Trips, Part 2. So there's a link there for the latest updates to the gospel trips in France.
Amen.
So I think everything else, as far as the upcoming events, I already mentioned it in the important announcements. Are there any? Oh, yeah, there's children. What was the announcement there? Sorry.
4th through 6th grade is in cabin 107. Kinder through 3rd are in cabin 106, and toddlers and pre-K are in cabin 102.
Okay. So go ahead and pick up your kids and blend together with the visitors.